It's the Hampton Roads BusinessJournal.com podcast interview. Bringing you interviews with Hampton Roads successful small business owners and entrepreneurs. And now, our host, Rod Watson.
Hello, Hampton Roads Business Journal listeners. Today, I have the pleasure of bringing to you a great guy from a great school. We're going to bring that up right away, Notre Dame. It's rivalry week. We got to talk about it. Michigan plays Notre Dame this week. I'm glad to bring Jim Flaus from Anchor Accounting and Tax. Hello, Jim. How are you doing today?
Hey, Rod. I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. Hey, let's get right into it. Jim, we'd like you to give a basic overview of your business and let our listeners know how your business works and what you do. But first, please tell us a little about yourself and then give us an overview of your business.
Okay, great. Well, it's my pleasure. A little bit about myself. We moved to Virginia here about 25 years ago. My wife and I was born and raised out in the Midwest, so I had a lot of the Midwest values. Elaine and I were married 36 years ago, so we have a little bit of a partnership working there. Two grown daughters, both have moved away from the Hampton Roads area. They're both grown. But we started this business, Anchor Accounting and Tax, in 2006. I had gotten a master's degree in accounting from Old Dominion locally, which I have in addition to, as you indicated earlier, a bachelor's in business from the University of Notre Dame. Opened the accounting practice. We've been up and running now about seven tax seasons, and primarily our focus is small business owners, home-based businesses or family-owned corporations, if you will, that are operated out of the home. One commonality in all these businesses is they typically have $5 million or less in annual revenues, and they have 1 to 15 employees. So that's what we mean by small. But the commonality in all those businesses is they want to minimize their taxes. They want to obviously maximize their profitability. They want to optimize their cash flow. And they really don't want to mess around a lot with the back office busy work and paperwork that really comes with running a business. And so we work to help save them time and money on the accounting and back office functions, as well as, of course, taxes.
That's great. It's always important to leverage your time and pass on the tasks of your business to people with the skills and knowledge and experience to help you run your business the right way. Okay, Jim, I'd like to go ahead and get started with one of my favorite and I think most important parts of our interviews, and that's the success quote. Please provide your favorite quote and explain why it's so meaningful to you.
I used to have this actually on my Facebook page as kind of the banner for quite some time, but it's a quote from Ben Franklin, and it's very simple. It says, "Well done is better than well said." And the reason I like that, I just think it holds so much wisdom for today's society. We spend a lot of time, it seems, on Facebook or LinkedIn or, you know, putting our best foot forward in terms of our word, you know, wordsmithing, word crafting, 60-second commercials about who we are, what we're doing. We always want to put our best foot forward. But the reality is, you know, I'm not as impressed anymore with what people say as I am with what they do. And so well done is better than well said to me is just... it just says a lot. It says a lot, particularly when, you know, and there's another famous quote, very similar. It kind of carries the same punch. But someone said, you know, put a lot more weight, a lot more stock in what people do than in what they say. Follow through is critical. It's, you know, indicates character and integrity. And so I just think that's just an important bit of wisdom to live by in today's business world.
It sure is. Actions are much louder than words. They tell you the story. Okay, Jim, I'd like to get in and get to know you a little bit better here by discussing a business failure. Now, what I'd like you to do is describe a business failure, a personal shortcoming, or a major challenge that has provided a significant learning experience for you and can be credited to getting you where you are today.
Okay. Well, without, you know, highlighting a particular event, but I could probably think of several where the the biggest learning for me. Maybe I don't learn it right away. I catch things on the second bounce. But it's just the concept of success really can get the best of you sometimes to the point where you think maybe a little more highly of yourself, your talents, your abilities than may actually be the case. So I've been in situations in business where because I was pretty confident in my own ability or my own assessment, wasn't as quick to learn from what others were telling me, whether they were my supervisors working as an employee some years ago or a client. Once I was in my own business trying to share with me, you know, what would be a better way of doing something. And so, you know, being coachable, just being, you know, in a position where you'll follow either the direction of someone or listen well enough where you'll hear what people are saying. I think I have, unfortunately, evaded that that opportunity on a time or two, and it's cost me either in terms of a promotion or in terms of really doing a better job for either my employer or my clients. So I would just say listening, being coachable, you know, taking in information where people are trying to give you information without necessarily taking it personally or just discounting it altogether because you didn't think other people knew what knew the situation as well as you did. I guess I'll put it that way.
That's right. It's perfectly okay to learn from people's experience and from their mistakes, especially if they're willing to take the time and share that with you. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for that input. Okay, so I'd like to move on to our next question, which is your aha moment. So please briefly describe a business aha moment when the light bulb came on, started to shine real bright for you. Tell us that story and how it helped you become the success you are.
Sure. I think the real aha moment for me when I went into business for myself and really sat down for the first time and wrote out a business plan. And the reason that was such an aha, I think, is that when you work for others, and typically for me it was more in a corporate setting, you're creating either, you know, sales plans or budgets are doing something where you're submitting a report, and it's going to be, you know, you're going to have your paper graded by someone else. So, you know, perhaps you're skewing what you're writing or what your goals and objectives are and how you phrase them and angle towards them based on what you think someone else is looking for. When I sat down and actually did my own business plan, it was highly motivating and highly eye-opening because I remembered it was actually over a Christmas holiday. And I was at that time, you know, working for someone else in a great job, working for a great company, but really wanted to kind of go out on my own. And here I was. I was like, okay, what prices am I going to set? Who is going to be my target market? How am I going to process, you know, the work that comes through? What am I going to specialize in? What's going to be my focus? Because you can go a million different directions, but until you really distill it down into what is your intent and your focus, it's all just possibilities, and now it becomes very real. So that was an aha moment for me. And, of course, I also found out once you open your doors, you're usually the first one in the morning and the last one out at night, and so you take it much more seriously when you've hung the shingle and it's your business.
That's right. You got the whole baby, not just a piece of the pie. That's right. Okay, how about an I made it moment? Do you have a moment in time on your journey where you thought yourself, okay, I've made it, I'm here? If yes, please describe that moment for us.
Sure. I think I've had a few, but the one that really rings out in my mind is I won a national sales contest. At the time, now this is some years ago, probably 25 years ago, I was young, had a young family, and it was a interesting sales environment because I worked with a company. It was a national company and had just under 100 sales reps, you know, on the street. And it was an industry in which you basically were pounding pavement. I mean, you did not set any appointments. You were out on the street, cold calling, one call close, very difficult environment, straight commission. So you either, you know, every day you were unemployed till you made the first sale. Well, the reason it was such a I have arrived moment was that because I was out on my own, I really didn't know what other people were doing so much to succeed. I mean, I was basically just out there doing what they trained me to do, making calls every day, very diligent, slow and steady, if you will. But then at the end of it, and it was about a 60-day sales contest, and on Christmas Eve was actually the end of the contest, and I got a phone call from home office, and they said, "Hey, you won the sales contest." I said, "Wow." I was really surprised. I'd never won a sales contest like that before. I said, "Yeah, you not only won it, but you won it going away. I mean, it wasn't even close." And to me, what that told me was that, you know, if you just do what you know to do, do it well, stay at it, that it doesn't matter what reports you read in the company magazines or what people say and doing and promoting themselves, but that if you just keep, you know, doing what you're told to do and do it with diligence and try to do it the right way, it can really pay off. And in that case, it really paid off. And so that was exciting. That was exciting. I had often felt like I quite didn't measure up to, you know, the press reports I was reading about some other people in the company. But that particular day, I felt like I had arrived. I had made it.
That's awesome. Okay, Jim, what I'd like to do now is give you a chance to do some self-promotion. Describe to us any upcoming business products or services or current ones that you're really fired up about that really have your blood pumping because you know it's going to help local business owners and entrepreneurs.
Sure. Well, one of the projects I've been working on recently that's really got me excited is a new certification. It's QuickBooks Online. I'm a certified QuickBooks Pro Advisor, actually have been since 2008. So it's been a while. But I guess as the industry has changed and as more and more people are going online, you know, with cloud computing and doing things in the cloud, this QuickBooks Online program, I pretty much discounted 3 or 4 years ago when I first heard of it as being not very realistic. Just got certified in it within the last month, and I'll tell you, it's a pretty exciting concept. It allows business owners anytime, anywhere, access to their books. It allows other people access if they so choose to give it. So it very much facilitates an accountant being able to work with a business owner and not necessarily being tied to one person's computer or the other or having to send files back and forth. It's all right there on the Internet. And not only is it accessible, more importantly, the software has become extremely powerful in terms of being able to keep records, the things you can do with it. It's really got a lot more horsepower than it did 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm excited about it. I'm actually pretty pumped. And I think it's going to be a great way going forward to allow people really to free up their time, really spend more time doing what they need to do to generate cash flow and make money, less time, you know, chasing the bookkeeping details that just seem to run through every business on a never-ending flow. You can really get caught up in busy work and paperwork and not get any real productivity done. It allows us to do that for a business owner, allows them to make more money, and it's just a great tool. So I'm really looking forward to using that and, of course, the expertise we bring to the table with our certification and making that work for business owners.
That's great. Okay, let you go and put you in the hot seat now, Jim. In this part of our episode, we like to fire quick questions to our guests and hear your thought-provoking and valuable answers. So the first question in the hot seat is best business book. Please recommend one book for our listeners and explain why it's important to you.
Okay. A book I would recommend to any business owner or anybody thinking about going in business, it was written about 15 years ago, I believe, but it's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. And it struck me tremendously because the theme of the book is very much in line with what I've experienced in life. Not that I had two dads, as did the author. But I did have one dad, and he had the same advice most of us hear when we grow up, which is get good grades, you know, work for a big company, get a good job, and then, you know, after 40 years, when you retire, they'll take care of you, and, you know, you'll have a great retirement. And, of course, that didn't pan out at all in this economy for most of us. Most of us worked, you know, 3-4 years, and due to politics or a changing economy or industry pressures, we either get outsized, downsized, or find a better opportunity. So we move from one company to another, and after 30 or 40 years, you're not left with a heck of a lot of anything but 30 and 40 years of work. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this book, not only did it tell about a dad who had just more business sense than education and made it work, but more importantly, it really talks about, you know, what he calls the cash flow quadrant. Whereas you've got really four quadrants. I won't go into it, read the book, but most people get caught up in the employee or the small business quadrant, whereas you end up working, long hours, not get rich, and then really not build an asset that generates income for you as much as, you know, you're working for the business or for the employer.
Right.
If you get over to the other side of the quadrant, you're going to be building an asset that will generate income for you rather than you. You know, I hear this all the time from business owners. They say, gee, I own a company, but in reality, the company owns me because I'm just spending all my time there. I don't have enough leverage. I'm working long hours, and it's just, you know, it's just it's not where you want to be. So that book really was revelationary in terms of that whole mindset and how to get out of that.
Yes, that is definitely a must read for anybody who's looking out to get started. And if you haven't read it, it's one that should definitely be in your library. Okay. Jim, you did a few things before you became an entrepreneur. So let's reflect back on that time and explain to us what was holding you back from taking your business or starting a business and taking your business to the next level as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think everybody wants to own a business. It's just a matter of do you have the capital to be able to make that leap from being a full-time employee to a full-time business owner. For me, it came in stages. I was working full-time in a great career, but also wanted to have my own business. So I was working part-time trying to build a part-time business, frankly, in bookkeeping back at that time. It was a challenge just managing time. But over time, it came to the point where I just had enough under my wings that I had to make a leap. it was quite a risk, and it was almost as if I got pushed off the ledge, but we got off the ledge, and there was a couple of years there where you're just saying, what have I done? I don't know whether this was courage or just stupidity, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad I did. I'm just so glad I did. The ability to do what we're doing today, I just feel so much more fulfilled than what I was doing in my prior career.
That's right. That's great. Okay. What's the best business advice you've ever been given?
The best business advice I've ever been given, create better systems. I think that's the best advice I've ever been given. It's a journey I'm on right now. Create better systems. Why? Because at the end of the day, in any business, rather than being a jack of all trades, you really want to focus on a niche or a special part of your business. You want to specialize. And when you do that, it allows you to create systems where, frankly, it's a little bit repetitive, but that system will allow you to succeed. And the best way I can share it is I have a client no longer in business. This particular client was a tremendous chef and had the certifications to prove it. Opened a business, however, and unfortunately she did not hire me until she'd been open for a while. But she had no systems in place. She knew how to cook a great meal. She did not have a clue on how to run a business serving people great food. And so she had no systems in place, and it was a disaster. I mean, lost a lot of money. That's a pretty dramatic example. So, you know, part of it for me is not only having systems for myself, but trying to help others see the benefit of doing it. And, you know, the best example I could give, compare that chef to McDonald's. McDonald's, I don't think anybody has any misunderstanding that McDonald's is not the best hamburger in the world. I mean, you could make a better one in your backyard. We all could. But they have great systems, which isn't to say, you know, dummy down your business, but it is to say, if you can create systems, you will be extremely profitable. And that's really what we're in business to do at the end of the day, is find a niche, create a system to serve that niche, and then ride that horse because that's what's going to win the race.
That's right. I still can't touch those fries, but definitely it can do a better burger, that's for sure. Okay. What is one action that our listeners can take next 24 hours to move their business to the next level and get one step closer to their goals?
Well, I don't think it's any one action per se that I would say is across the board that they could do. I would say the action they should do is just to take action, take action now. And I find myself in this situation quite often where I'm a recovering, procrastinator. You come up with a great plan, you put together a well-thought-out strategy, but until you actually, take the first step to execute it, you're not going anywhere. So, a mantra I've started to speak out in my business is, let's act now. I will act now. Let's do this now. Whatever it is, don't wait until you get perfect at it, because you will get better at it as you go. Just take action.
Right.
Move. Go. Yeah. Pick up the phone. Make the call. Start the conversation. Whatever it is that you're feeling a little bit fearful in doing. Because generally we're just trying to control the results. And once you let go of what the outcome is going to be, you tend to find you can just flow with it, and you get results, you get better. You're going to get better as you go. Before you're great, you're going to be good. Before you're good, you're going to be not so good. Before you're not so good, you're going to actually be kind of lousy. But you got to start somewhere.
Right.
And you can't improve unless you're moving.
That's a great point. Action takers are rewarded. Get out there, get started, perfect it as you go, but don't wait to take action. Okay, and do you have an internet source like a Evernote, or I use Google Hangout and Google products, that you find absolutely incredible and of great value yourself that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I do. It's, however, kind of specialized to my field. It's an internet site called taxalmanac.org. Why Almanac, I don't know. But it's a site that is made up of, you have to be a tax professional to actually log in and be a part of it. But my goodness, it's rich in content. It's funny at times. Basically, it's where I can lean on people in my industry. Since I'm a solo practitioner, I don't have, senior partners to go to with questions or advice. And the website actually gives that to me. And it also gives me some pretty good ideas just in terms of marketing my business, not only the tax knowledge or the, the tactical side or the technician side of being in the tax business, but just, hey, marketing is half the business. So it's a great source. Other than that, probably just what most people use. I do use Evernote. I use Facebook a lot. I see a lot of things on Facebook. I used to disregard it, or kind of, if you will, I didn't really appreciate it fully. Let's put it that way. But I have found that, pretty much everybody is on there, and out there should be, because it is pretty much where everybody, at least everybody over 25 that I know, is putting stuff on there. So you can keep up with your clients, keep up with their concerns, what's going on, what they're doing. And when they call in, I can say, hey, I saw you were in Denver last week. It must have been great, in the mountains, So it's a great way to stay in touch even when you're not in touch.
Right. It makes you a person, and they get to learn about you without some of the routine ways, like even a newsletter, which I strongly encourage people to do. But Facebook gets you as it goes, and they can relate, and you become a person to them, not just somebody who does their taxes, but you are the person that they really want to interact with, because they can relate to you.
It does. They can relate to me. They see where I've been. A lot of them know I've been out of town recently, so they'll ask me about my trip or whatever. But the other thing I do is I do have a Facebook link to all my emails. And, it's the first of the month today. I sent out my invoices to my regular clients. I included a little bit of, hey, here's what I did this past few weeks, and how was your summer? And so it keeps it on a personal level where they know, hey, this is a guy that's just like me. It builds trust, builds confidence. And so, I think every way you can leverage those sorts of things into your business, the better.
That's right. And one other point I wanted to make, too, you mentioned the website for your niche. It's very important for everybody to find that internet resource for their industry, their niche, to find out and communicate with other people, find out who's doing it right, and follow some of their practices and incorporate those good practices in your business because it's always better to learn from people who are doing it right and mm-hmm. interact with those people as often as possible. So I'm glad you brought
Absolutely.
That up. Okay, here's the big question. Here we go. It's you wake up one morning in a parallel universe, and everything is gone except the following things I'm going to give you back. First, all of your knowledge, your current knowledge and expertise. All of your food and lodging are covered. You've got $500 cash and a laptop computer. How would you spend the first 7 days to get back to where you are now?
Do I have a phone in addition to my laptop computer?
No. You're going to have to spend the money to get a phone.
Holy cow. Well, if I didn't have a phone, I would really have a problem. But so I guess the first thing I'd do is find out what I can do to get a phone. But I would use the laptop to actually focus myself a little bit more specifically than what I did in getting my business up and running for seven years. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean I'd probably pick an industry or a niche that I wanted to be the expert in. For accounting and taxes. So, I don't know what that industry would be, but let's just say, for example, I do have a lot of clients in the auto repair business. They're repairing, fixing autos, or they're doing transmission work or whatever. So since I have a lot of clients in that industry already, I would probably go back to that well and just pump it really, really hard so that I would find out who's in the industry, get referrals, set up appointments, meet with as many people as I could over the next 7 days in that industry just to get a better understanding of what they're doing now, what their concerns are, and how I can better meet those needs through my service and build that reputation within the industry as opposed to, what most of us do when we start a business. Try to cover the waterfront, take every client that breathes air. Mm-hmm. They've got a pulse and they've got a checkbook, I can probably I get paid to do something for them, but then you end up so spread all over the place that, you're really not leveraging your time as well as you could do. So that's probably what I would do. I would really, really laser focus in on one industry and make as many connections and have as many face-to-face meetings as I could and just run from there.
That's right. That's a great strategy. You're narrowing your list down. You may not necessarily alienating people because, hey, if somebody ran across you along the way and were interested in your services, you could still help them out and provide services to them. But you're focusing your efforts on a single vertical, the auto repair industry, mm-hmm. and now you've established yourself as the subject matter expert. Nobody knows auto better than you do in taxes. You're the go-to guy, and you can take it from there. It's a manageable list. And you don't have to spread your resources out, and every time you want to do a mailing or to try to contact those individuals, those businesses, you know where they're at. You have their list, and they know you. Over time, they're going to get to know you better and know that you're the guy taking care of them. That's a great strategy to get going. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jim, I'd like to thank you for being with us, and I'd like to give you an opportunity to pass on any parting advice for our listeners and let us know how we can get a hold of you.
Sure. Well, parting advice, I don't know if I can add anything that I've already shared, but best way to get a hold of me, I've got a website online. Check it out, www.anchoraccountingandtax.com. Just spell it all out. It shows what we do and who we do it for and can give people a feel for, whether we're a good fit for their business. I'm on Facebook, Jim Flaus, rhymes with house, FLAUAUS. I did not stutter. There are two AUs. I'm on LinkedIn, same. It's really the best way for people to get a hold of me. And then, of course, our phone number here at the office, 757-319-4700. I'd be glad to talk with you.
That's great. And all your contact information that you just provided will be on the Hampton Roads Business Journal blog page for this interview. Thanks again to Jim Flaus of Anchor Accounting and Tax. And for our Hampton Roads Business Journal listeners, have a great day and talk to you later.
Thank you for joining us for today's Hampton Roads Business Journal.com interview.